Protocol number 16, brainwashing. In order to effect the destruction of all collective forces except ours, we shall emasculate the first stage of collectivism, the universities, by re-educating them in a new direction. Their officials and professors will be prepared for their business by detailed secret programs of action, from which they will not with immunity diverge, not by one iota. They will be appointed with a special precaution and will be so placed as to be wholly dependent upon the government. We shall exclude from the course of instruction state law, as also all that concerns the political question. These subjects will be taught to a few dozens of persons chosen for their preeminent capacities from among the number of the initiated. The universities must no longer send out from their halls milksops concocting plans for a constitution like a comedy or a tragedy, busying themselves with questions of policy in which even their own fathers never had any power of thought. The ill-guided acquaintance of a large number of persons with questions of polity creates utopian dreamers and bad subjects, as you can see for yourselves from the example of the universal education in this direction of the Goyim. We must introduce into their education all those principles which have so brilliantly broken up their order. But when we are in power, we shall remove every kind of disturbing subject from the course of education and shall make out of the youth obedient children of authority, loving him who rules as the support and hope of peace and quiet. Classicism, as also any form of study of ancient history, in which there are more bad than good examples, we shall replace with the study of the program of the future. We shall erase from the memory of men all facts of previous centuries which are undesirable to us, and leave only those which depict all the errors of the governments of the Goyim. The study of practical life, of the obligations of order, of the relations of people one to another, of avoiding bad and selfish examples which spread the infection of evil, and similar questions of an educative nature, will stand in the forefront of the teaching program, which will be drawn up on a separate plan for each calling or slate of life, in no wise generalizing the teaching. This treatment of the question has special importance. Each state of life must be trained with strict limits corresponding to its destination and work in life. The occasional genius has always managed and always will manage to slip through into other states of life, but it is the most perfect folly for the sake of this rare occasional genius to let through into ranks foreign to them the untalented who thus rob of their places those who belong to those ranks by birth or employment. You know yourselves and what all this has ended for the Goyim who allow this crying absurdity. In order that he who rules may be seated firmly in the hearts and minds of his subjects, it is necessary for the time of his activity to instruct the whole nation in the schools and on the marketplaces about his meaning and his acts and all his beneficent initiatives. We shall abolish every kind of freedom of instruction. Learners of all ages will have the right to assemble together with their parents in the educational establishments, as it were in a club. During these assemblies, on holy days, teachers will read what will pass as free lectures on questions of human relations, of the laws of examples, of the limitations which are born of unconscious relations, and finally of the philosophy of the new theories not yet declared to the world. These theories will be raised by us to the stage of a dogma of faith as a transitional stage towards our faith. On the completion of this exposition of our program of action in the present and future, I will read you the principles of these theories. In a word, knowing by the experience of many centuries that people live and are guided by ideas, that these ideas are imbibed by people only by the aid of education provided with equal success for all ages of growth, but of course by varying methods, we shall swallow up and confiscate to our own use the last scintilla of independence of thought, which we have for the long past been directing towards subjects and ideas useful for us. The system of bridling through is already at work in the so-called system of teaching by object lessons, the purpose of which is to turn the goyim into unthinking, submissive brutes, waiting for things to be presented before their eyes in order to form an idea of them. In France, one of our best agents, Bourgeois, has already made public a new program of teaching by object lessons. End of protocol number 16. Protocol number 17. The practice of advocacy produces men cold, cruel, persistent, unprincipled, who in all cases take up an impersonal, purely legal standpoint. They have the inveterate habit to refer everything to its value for the defense, not of the public welfare, of its results. They do not usually decline to undertake any defense whatsoever. They strive for an acquittal at all costs, cavilling over every petty crux of jurisprudence, and thereby they demoralize justice. For this reason, we shall set this profession into narrow frames, which will keep it inside this sphere of executive public service. Advocates, equally with judges, will be deprived of the right of communication with litigants. They will receive business only from the court and will study by its notes, off report, and documents, defending their clients after they have been interrogated in court on facts that have appeared. They will receive an honorarium without regard to the quality of the defense. This will render them mere reporters on law business in the interests of justice and as counterpoise to the proctor, who will be the reporter in the interests of the prosecution. This will shorten business before the courts. In this way will be established a practice of honest, unprejudiced defense, conducted not from personal interest but by conviction. This will also, by the way, remove the present practice of corrupt bargain between the advocates to agree only to let that side win which pays most. We have long past taken care to discredit the priesthood of the goyim and thereby to ruin their mission on the earth, which in these days might still be a great hindrance to us. Day by day, its influence on the peoples of the world is falling lower. Freedom of conscience has been declared everywhere, so that now only years divide us from the moment of the complete wrecking of that Christian religion. As to other religions, we shall have still less difficulty in dealing with them. But it would be premature to speak of this now. We shall set clericalism and clericals into such narrow frames as to make their influence move in retrogressive proportion to its former progress. When the time comes finally to destroy the papal court, the finger of an invisible hand will point the nations towards this court. When, however, the nations fling themselves upon it, we shall come forward in the guise of its defenders, as if to save excessive bloodshed. By this diversion, we shall penetrate to its very bowels, and be sure we shall never come out again until we have gnawed through the entire strength of this place. The King of the Jews will be the real Pope of the universe, the Patriarch of an international church. But in the meantime, while we are re-educating youth in new traditional religions and afterwards in ours, we shall not overtly lay a finger on existing churches, but we shall fight against them by criticism calculated to produce schism. In general, then, our contemporary press will continue to convict state affairs, religions, incapacities of the goyim, always using the most unprincipled expressions in order by every means to lower their prestige in the manner which can only be practiced by the genius of our gifted tribe. Our kingdom will be an apologia of the divinity Vishnu, in whom is found its personification. In our 100 hands will be, one in each, the springs of the machinery of social life. We shall see everything without the aid of official police, which, in that scope of its rights, we elaborated for the use of the goyim, hinders governments from seeing in our program, one-third of our subjects will keep the rest under observation from a sense of duty on the principle of volunteer service to the state. It will then be no disgrace to be a spy and informer, but a merit. Unfounded denunciations, however, will be cruelly punished that there may be no development of abuses of this right. Our agents will be taken from the higher as well as the lower ranks of society, from among the administrative class who spend their time in amusements, editors, printers, and publishers, booksellers, clerks, and salesmen, workmen, coachmen, lackeys, etc. This body, having no rights and not being empowered to take any action on their own account, and consequently a police without any power, will only witness and report. Verification of their reports and arrest will depend upon a responsible group of controllers of police affairs, while in the actual act of arrest will be performed by the gendarmerie and the municipal police. Any person not denouncing anything seen or heard concerning questions of polity will also be charged with and made responsible for concealment, if it be proved that he is guilty of this crime. Just as nowadays our brethren are obliged at their own risk to denounce the cabal, apostates of their own family or members who have been noticed doing anything in opposition to the cabal, so in our kingdom over all the world, it will be obligatory for all subjects to observe the duty of service to the state in this direction. Such an organization will extirpate abuses of authority, of force, of bribery, everything, in fact, which we, by our consent and counsel, by our theories of the superhuman rights of man, have introduced into the customs of the goyim. But how else were we to procure that increase of causes predisposing to disorders in the midst of their administration? Among the number of those methods, one of the most important is agents for the restoration of order, so placed as to have the opportunity in their disintegrating activity of developing and displaying their evil inclinations. Obstinate self-conceit, irresponsible exercise of authority, and first and foremost, venality. End of protocol number 17.